would tonight, turn in your Bibles
to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll read verse, starting with verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father of our and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Tonight we want to continue our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be dealing specifically with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, just by way of introduction, just in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, you can see what relates to the teaching of the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to obey the command to walk circumspectly, to redeem the time, understanding the day in which you live, the days that are evil. You'll be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have an understanding of God's will as it's revealed in His Word. And then it says, be not drunk with wine. I don't believe that someone who is filled with the Spirit will be intemperate in any way. And then he talks about the music that will permeate your life. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Those that enable you to make melody unto the Lord. And then you'll have a thankful heart, giving thanks always for all things. That is very difficult, to be able in every circumstance of life, in all things, to give thanks. When things don't go the way you think they ought to go. And listen, half of our country on November the 4th is going to be disappointed because our nation is so polarized politically. And I wonder, how will you and I react to whatever the outcome is? Will we be filled with the Spirit? Will we submit ourselves one to another? All of these are characteristics of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And every child of God is under orders. This is a command to be filled with the Spirit. So let's not just be content with learning all the ins and outs about this doctrine, but may God give us grace to be able to actually put it into practice, to live it out in a very practical way, to be able to live in such a way that people can see, and God can see, more importantly, that we are indeed filled, controlled, led, guided, taught by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the first point I want to deal with tonight is what it filled with the Spirit, what it does not mean. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of charismatic craziness that has developed in modern-day Christianity over the last 100 years. First of all, being filled with the Spirit is not receiving more of the Spirit. If you're saved tonight, if you are a true child of God, you are personally indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're not saved. You have no assurance that you are saved by the grace of God. So, it's not that you're going to get more of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is a person. How can you get more of a person? As if you could receive more of Him in different amounts. If you're saved, He dwells in you. Period. End of story. The key is not you getting more of Him. It's Him getting more of you. And you being less filled up with your own ways, your own will, your own desires, and be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Now another thing, being filled with the Spirit is not necessarily spiritual growth. Because Christians may be Spirit-filled at every stage of maturity. A babe in Christ may be filled with the Spirit, while a mature Christian may enter into a time of failing in this area. The living of a Spirit-filled life should be viewed rather as a position of good spiritual health. It's where the Spirit of God is directing your life and filling your life. Think about this. While health may be experienced at any age, yet the lack of good health is a deterrent to proper growth in both spiritual and the physical realm. So we can be Spirit-filled in any level of our spiritual maturity, but it has to do more with our overall general spiritual health to be filled with the Spirit. And then, being filled with the Spirit is not to be confused with other workings of the Spirit. The experiences of being Spirit-filled, and listen carefully to the statement I'm going to make, and baptized with the Spirit, okay, have often been confused. Now, as would be expected, the filling of the Spirit accompanied the baptism with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But to therefore confuse them as one and the same is a serious error that perverts both truths. The baptism with the Spirit was given at Pentecost while people were Spirit-filled. Okay? We are commanded to be Spirit-filled, while no one has ever been commanded to be baptized with the Spirit. Now listen to this. Do you realize that there were people who were filled with the Spirit even before the birth of Jesus Christ? But no one had been baptized with the Spirit until the Lord baptized the first church with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And I might add that the church was already in existence. That was not the birthday of the church. Jesus organized His church during His earthly ministry. But there is a clear delineation and distinction between being filled with the Spirit, which should be something that every child of God experiences. And being baptized with the Spirit. That was a one-time event that where the outpouring of the Spirit was God baptized that first church in power with the Holy Spirit. Now, so they're different experiences. Now, then secondly tonight, what it is to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is simply to be yielded to Him in every area of our life, in our attitudes, our motives, our desires, our words, our actions, our way of life. And this experience, interestingly enough, is often directly and indirectly compared to drunkenness. You ever thought about that? We in Ephesians 5:18, but also look over at Luke 1:15. Three times you have this comparison to being filled with the Spirit in the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you why in a moment. Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now how amazing is this? John the Baptist is said to have been filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That's extraordinary. That's a sovereign work of God in the Baptist's life. All right? But notice, it's distinguished from the fact that he would neither drink wine nor strong drink. John the Baptist did not. Now look over at Acts chapter 2 and verse 13. When they were filled with the Spirit, what does the Bible say about this experience? Acts 2:13. When they saw these people filled with the Spirit, it said in verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So while they were filled with the Spirit, and they were preaching the gospel in other languages, the people that observed this phenomena, the day that this New Testament church, the members of it, were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Spirit, both those things are true on that day. Said they were filled with new wine. So, why is it compared to drunkenness? Well, just as wine controls the drunkard and makes him bold and vocal, so the Spirit-filled individual is under the sway of the Holy Spirit, under His direction. He becomes spiritually bold and is able also to testify for the Lord. And you'll notice something, because we're going to look at a lot of verses tonight, very quickly, in succession. And I want you to take special note how often being filled with the Spirit is associated with being bold in sharing the gospel and taking a stand for Jesus Christ. So the experience of those who have been Spirit-filled seem to vary greatly. In normal Christian living, the saint is daily filled with Spirit simply by doing this, by confessing your sin and yielding to God. Those are both characteristics of what it is to be filled with the Spirit, to be sensitive and cognizant of your sinful nature, to the point where you confess your sin transparently before God and yield yourself to the Spirit's working in your life. The filling of the Spirit in this instance is not so much a wild emotional experience as it is with simple, continual fellowship and communion with God. At other times, the filling of the Spirit has come upon an individual unsought and sometimes with special signs. But we want to note the various circumstances which surround this filling of the Spirit in the Scriptures. Now, we've already looked at Luke chapter 1 and the birth of John the Baptist, what he would be characterized by. But turn back there to Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And now notice, who was filled with the Spirit? We know that John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, but his mother was also filled with the Spirit. It says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So Elizabeth, this woman, was filled with the Spirit, the one who bore John the Baptist in her womb. Chapter 1 and verse 67. And his father Zacharias. How interesting is this? Elizabeth, now this is prior to the advent of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus Christ is born, you have John the Baptist being filled with the Spirit. You have his mom, Elizabeth, his dad, Zacharias, who are both filled with the Spirit. His father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Look over at Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Now we have the Lord Jesus Christ in fresh off his baptism, his water baptism. That's the only kind of baptism there is in the New Testament. Water baptism that's performed upon an individual. The church was baptized with the Spirit, immersed in the power of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But notice, after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist in the river of Jordan, it says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Think about this. You can be filled with the Spirit and led into a place of great affliction and trial and difficulty, as Jesus was. All right, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts 2. And verse 4, and they were all those men on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. What is that? Was it nonsensical things that nobody understood? No, those tongues, glossolalia, that may not be the exact way of pronouncing it, but it simply means languages. They spoke with other tongues, with other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Have you noticed There are differing circumstances of these individuals who are filled with the Spirit. Acts 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of Israel, or ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you realize the amount of boldness God gave Peter on this occasion to preach this message to people who had just crucified Jesus? And it says in verse 13, when they beheld when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what? When you're filled with the Spirit, people are going to acknowledge by your message and your life that you've been with Jesus. And that ought to be the desire of every one of us, that people recognize that. All right, chapter 4 and verse 31. This was after they had been threatened, after they had been beaten, after they had been imprisoned, and they began to pray. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Again, the filling of the Spirit resulted in them, on this occasion, they defied the religious and governmental authorities who told them to shut up, not to speak of His name. And they obeyed God rather than men. Now it cost them. They were beaten. But it says, by the time you get over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I wonder, if they say we can't teach or preach, are we going to stand? Are we going to capitulate? Are we going to be filled with the Spirit, or are we going to be filled with fear? Look at Acts chapter 7 and verse 55. Acts 7 and verse 55. This is Peter, or this is Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, you talk about another guy filled with boldness as he's filled with the Spirit. Stephen was preaching to a bunch of hateful, wicked Jews who hated the message that he preached to them so ferociously that they stoned him to death. Do you understand what a brutal way of death it is to be stoned to death? To have people picking up rocks, not just pebbles, I'm talking about rocks, and hurling them at you with all the force that they could muster, until you are literally beaten and battered by stone after stone after stone, and you're bloodied. And he wouldn't stop preaching. And he was more filled with the Spirit than I've ever been, because he had such the Spirit of Christ in him that he said in verse 60. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This man was filled with the Spirit and it cost him his life. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul." I believe Saul was a brother before he ever was baptized. Because he's already saved by the grace of God. He'd already been redeemed, forgiven. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." This was even before he was baptized. He was to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. Again, I'm just showing you the different scenarios, circumstances, experience of those filled with the Spirit in the Bible. Acts 11 and verse 24. "And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea," that's Acts chapter 10. You love it when the preacher makes a mistake, don't you? You sinners. You shouldn't take delight in that. Acts 11 verse 24. It's talking about, look at verse 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem." By the way, notice this. Churches actually exist somewhere. The church in Jerusalem. It was a local, visible, called out assembly of baptized believers. They were assembled as a church in Jerusalem. And notice what that church did. They sent forth Barnabas. There's church authority in this work of, they were directing this work of Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. That the church at Jerusalem even determined where Barnabas should go. To Antioch. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." And he teamed up with the Apostle Paul to do mission work. But notice, he was a good man, filled with the Holy Ghost. Much people was added unto the Lord. Acts chapter 13 and verse 9. "Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." And here he is rebuking Elymas the sorcerer. All right, one more. Acts 13, 52. It says, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Now these scriptures that we just read make it very plain that the experience of being Spirit-filled follows no certain pattern as to the surrounding circumstances. The experience came before Pentecost. It came after Pentecost. It came with visible signs. It came without visible signs. It came upon many different types of individuals, from our Savior even to an unborn baby in the case of John the Baptist. The experience is associated, filling with the Spirit, is associated with praise, soul winning, and judgment in the case of Elymas the sorcerer. In taking note of all this, we should be careful to remember that regardless of the surrounding events, The filling itself is simply the Spirit of God taking control of an individual's life. In our life, we may have times of being Spirit-filled that seem like mountaintop experiences, while at other times the yielding to God produces only the quiet joy and peace of everyday Christian living. Regardless of the presence or the absence of certain experiences, let's be assured that each Christian may be Spirit-filled every day as we yield ourselves to God. God alone knows the particular work that needs to be done, and therefore He alone can determine the circumstances that are surrounding our filling of the Spirit on a day-to-day basis. We'll close there. I didn't mean to go this long tonight, but it's the way to. Maybe next week will be a little shorter. All right. Let's go to God.